Blog Talk Radio. Storybox Audio.
And good evening. This is the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio. And welcome to Progressive Roundtable. Gentlemen, I think that, well, we lost Wayne.
Really?
Yeah, he'll call back in, I hope. But, you know.
Yeah, we can do it if we have to, Gwen.
I guess so, yeah. He called back in. I was saying to you guys in the pre-show that I think that the biggest thing, I mean, I was out of touch and not watching TV or listening to anything and just had an iPad that I was looking at.
Well, it means your blood pressure was better.
It was, in a way, I guess. It was not a great trip. But anyways, the thing is that even I heard, I knew the day because people reacted to the guilty verdict. You know,
yes.
In the George Floyd case. I mean, that has rushed around the country. And, of course, it consumed a lot of network television this morning with their Sunday morning shows because they're talking about the status of policing in this country.
Yes.
And how terribly horrible it is comparatively to anything other than fascist governments. You know, in other words, we have a fascist police presence in the overall opinion. Even I, who have always respected, you know, uniform and whatnot, to a certain degree, I've always considered myself a small outlaw for driving without a license, too. So I get annoyed when the cops come up behind me still, and I'm proud of it. But here's the thing. These cops are psychologically unqualified for the position they're filling. And I don't mean all of them, but there's enough of them in every damn department, I'm betting, in this country that it's a crisis. It's a crisis. I will step away from cops because I simply don't trust them any longer. And it really doesn't make me feel good to say so.
I have to say, you know, by the way, you didn't introduce us. You realize that?
No, that's because we lost Wayne on the – yes, please.
Yes, it was fine.
Those who don't know us, say who we are. Then I will comment.
please excuse me. Tonight's Sunday show, I'm the producer, Gwendolyn Holden-Berry, and the co-hosts are Wayne Johnson and author Ronald Feynman. Okay.
Now, what I was going to say is I always trusted the police, but back in 2014, down here in Boca, I got stopped. I was close behind a police car as I was going into my development here, and you know, and he's like waved me on, and I passed him, and then he stopped me, and he was ready to give me two tickets that I was too close to his car, and he was very belligerent. My son, who lives with me, was here with me, and we were both in the car. And then along came another cop who was a friend of my other son who happened to say, what's going on here? And he came over to us while he was checking me out, you know, on the records. And I explained, and he didn't know the other cop, but he went over to the other cop, and he spoke to him, and he ended up only giving me one ticket, not two. It was so totally ridiculous. So I hired a traffic lawyer, and I paid him to try to solve the issue when it came to court. And this cop went to court and testified, and I had to pay the ticket and, of course, the traffic lawyer. And after that, I never felt the same. But I didn't think about it that if I had been black and my son had been black, this one could have been much worse than – at least we were white. But it's just unbelievable. And it really – since then, I've always been alienated from police in general because I'm always so suspicious. Because I never had an incident with a police officer ever. Even when I had a ticket in the past, it was always very cordial, very nice. I knew I'd done something wrong a few times over the years. But this guy was belligerent, and it was really crazy. And it could have been worse if this other cop, who was a friend of my other son, who happened to just be there, had not intervened. So, but he still insisted on giving me one ticket. So it makes me very suspicious about police now.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I know firsthand. I've seen firsthand, I should say, right, how prejudiced some cops are, how some that I knew were even bragging about how they would go up to a car, say a guy's at a quick shop, and they would find something to harass him about, a black man in the car, and how he took pride in the fact he would take his billy club and just, like, smash him in the face straight ahead, you know, not a swinging thing, but like a, you would jab a spear into somebody, into the face, right?
Well, look, you know, I got to say here, Cousin Bob got a little out of hand at the doctor's office a couple of years ago here, and we had just moved up here to Port St. Lucie, and he was angry because they do screw you up with health issues when you're on, he's disabled and such, and he has a whole host of damn doctors that don't really talk together, and it's just it's a Chinese fire drill. But he got very upset, and he said, no wonder people walk into offices with guns. Well, that was a cue for the receptionist to call the police
right.
on him. And then she was absolutely right. Bob was out of hand, but he didn't mean anything by it. That doesn't matter because he said it, which he took responsibility
yeah.
for. But, you know, he came home. He didn't know the cops had been called. He stormed out, and the Port St. Lucie police came to the door. And I was closest to the door, and I answered. And there were two, like, in their 30s, white men. And they asked a few questions, and he explained why he was there, and Bob talked to him. They were as nice as they could be. They understood
Good.
The frustration. They said that they would talk to the doctor's office and make sure they understood it was a frustration event and the doctor needed to talk to their patient. And, I mean, they were really quite wonderful. I was and while all this Trump nonsense has been going on from the 2016 election to the last
mm-hmm.
one, the Port St. Lucie police have tried their very best to keep these little Trump boys and the rest of these honyaks, you know, in line and not threatening people or riding around in trucks with guns and things, because they have. And just keeping in place. So that, as far as I know, it's all up to the people in it. But if you go up the road up to the I-4 corridor here in the middle of the state, well, that's Ku Klux Klan retirement communities all through there.
Right. Yeah.
And the cops up there are nasty bastards. Everybody's known that since I was driving through the state to college, and that was the late 70s. Oh, boy, did I just lay down the age thing. The point is that, you know, it used to be we knew territorial. You know what I mean? Where to stay, where not to screw around, you know? But any longer, it's through, and it's not always just white cops. It's brown cops and black cops that are nasty too.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, that we've become more of a police state,
mm-hmm.
an occupying force.
Yeah.
Of our policemen.
Yeah, and I want to point out,
I don't want to paint with a broad brush.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of respect for the police officers here in Annapolis. I will say that they are very good. Of course, we have
but
enough 10% of the tax base that we can afford
dirty.
Quality people.
Yeah, but 10% of them are going to be dirty anyways.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
That's what I'm going to say, right, yeah.
Yeah, but I wanted to mention the Floyd case. Two of the other three cops are Asian American and African American.
Right. Right.
Which is shocking a bit. They just stood there and did not say stop doing it to Chauvin.
Well,
why didn't they speak up? I mean, they were junior, they want to keep their jobs, but still, how could they not speak up? I don't understand it. Say enough of it already. Get off his neck, you know.
One was in training and only been on the force for a week.
Yeah,
I understand the concept. You want to keep the job, but I think preserving life should be above everything. You know, when you're in law enforcement, you know, that's my thought.
I agree with you. I do agree with you. And it seems like, but let's take a look at how Teddy Roosevelt went into the New York cops, you know, police department as commissioner and tried to clean them up. Cops
1895,
always,
yeah.
Yeah, cops in this country have always been walking lines of, you know, they're either the really master criminals or they're in with them a lot of times. And how to flush that out, I have no idea. But it used to be you thought there were a lot more of the good guys than the bad guys. And now the country itself, including a few voting Republicans, think that cops are just predominantly, you know, represented by fascist bastards who just want to, you know, knock people around or murder them. You know?
Yeah. Let's just use the
and
example
then you get
of
a,
the,
you get a good shot like that guy last week who shot the kid who had the gun. That was a clean, you know, that was not clean, but it was a legal shot. So it's not always, you know, it is not always that they're killing because they're just killing. They're also doing their job. And that line is so, gets so fluttery, you know, it's like a moth under a light in the night.
That's a good. That's a good analogy, Gwen. Yeah, that's very good.
But it's also that
then you have
person had a phone and they thought it was a gun and they shot him. It's ridiculous.
Well, then you have the blatantness of the naval officer, lieutenant, who just bought a new car. The temporary dealer tag was in the rear window, which I've seen that a lot. And then the one guy, you know, went Bucky Badass on the naval officer. Drug him out, sprayed him with...
that case. Luckily, he wasn't
wrong. In North Carolina. There in North Carolina. Now, that officer was fired. But, okay, well and good. But that could have escalated to the point where he could have pulled a gun and shot that officer because he didn't think he was right with not having a license tag on the back when he had the dealer tag posted in the rear window, which is legal in many states that I know of.
Yeah.
That could have gotten a whole lot worse.
Yeah. And this young woman in Columbus, Ohio, that was supposedly with a knife, and maybe she was, but right away, kill her, you know, instead of wounds her or something. I don't know. It's just they're too easy going for the heart or the brain, you know?
The thing is, and I know I've told you both this, I was in a Masonic lodge in Westerville, which is in the area that's kind of took place. And that lodge was full of retired and current police officers in that area of Ohio, Columbus police officers and stuff. And I think I went there three times, and I had never heard the N-word used so much by those police officers. And the mentality, the disdain that they had, the racism, disdaining racism that they had towards, you know, the black demographics there. And I thought, I am not going to be part of this. This is not what Masonry is about.
Oh,
and
boy.
I stopped going.
Yeah.
Well,
Johnson
and Johnson seems to be have a halt put on it as far as vaccine goes.
COVID vaccine by Johnson and
Johnson? Yeah, I'm trying to scatter our topics today. So
that's fine.
We'll
that's
cover
fine.
Some
no.
stuff.
Yeah, I got to ask Wayne Johnson, why does your Johnson and Johnson vaccine have troubles?
Because we kind of rushed it there. And it was just, it's not like a 6 out of, 20,000 or something that had the issue. You know, it's like any drug. For some people, depending upon their DNA and their body metabolism and stuff.
Well, I understand.
It didn't react well with them.
I understand that basically the new administration is really making sure the vaccine is being pumped out by the minute. It's being created, the safe ones or the assured ones. I guess that's Moderna and Pfizer. And they're getting Americans vaccinated, but as I saw today on the news, 24% of the country is anti-vax with this.
Yeah.
So
all Republicans, evangelical Christians, and Orthodox Jews, mostly. Yeah.
Well, it is going to be a problem, but Also, today in the news, we're going to provide vaccine components and medical supplies to India because of their huge spike. I feel awful. I mean, have you seen? India is just exploding with it again.
Right. And the thing is if we don't address this as
crowds.
A global pandemic, it's going to, like, for instance, South Africa and Brazil, right? Brazil is, like, uber conservative. Like, you know, it's all fake news. You know, they take the Trump aspect.
Well, Bolsonaro is a menace. He is a real nut,
exactly.
The president of Brazil.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is if you're not vaccinating yourself, you're not protecting yourself, then the COVID has a host to get in, not only infect the population, but it mutates now. And that's the problem coming out of South Africa. You know, they don't have the vaccine. The people are getting it. And the virus mutates in the host. Now you've got another super improved COVID-19 virus that can come back and actually overpower our current vaccination rates. COVID shots are going to become just like your pre-winter flu shots every year.
Yes,
they're
going
to have to come up and develop what they expect to be the new potential evolution of the COVID-19, and it's going to be an annual thing now from here on out. It's not going to go away.
Yep, and yet the people that are still going to say, I've got to be able to go to my gyms and I've got to be able to go to my restaurants to eat food that you shouldn't be eating,
right,
and all the rest, you know.
You know, let's look at the famous Ted Nugent. You know, he was an anti-vaxxer. You know, this is all fake news. I'm a good conservative, you know. Here, Obama, suck on the, you know, barrel of my machine gun as he's firing off, you know, a clip, kind of crap. Well, he went down to Florida and performed in no mask mall openings.
Yeah, and
he got
anti-mask.
COVID. And
he
is in
COVID?
The hospital with COVID. Yes, he does.
Well, you know, handsome is as handsome does, gentlemen. I mean, a rose is a rose is a rose.
There you go. Exactly right.
I mean, yeah. Okay.
In fact, because of Nugent, I actually did something I've never done on Facebook. I wrote my comment on him, and I just used one letter, two different letters, F and A. Figure out what that is.
Professor, I broke you. It's all my fault. I take full.
But
I
didn't write the words because I'd probably be banned and put in the prison.
Well,
so I wrote F space A space capital letters.
I know. But like I said, but that's Ted Nugent, you know. And the thing is, there's many, many like him. About, you know, I know somebody local to the hometown I was on the Eastern Shore. He was a big Trumpster and stuff. He rented a limousine. He and some others rode up on January 6th to D.C. so they could watch Trump's inspiring treasonous speech. I don't know if he converged on the Capitol, but he was there, you know, in the crowd.
Wow.
And now he came home. His wife and he are both in the hospital. Well, they were both in the hospital with COVID. He basically got it and gave it to her.
She is
out, but he is still in there because he has blood clot in his pots in his lungs and in his legs, and he is, I know, well into his 70s, maybe early 70s.
And you think that
he is on oxygen
right thing?
Intensive care.
You think he still thinks he did the right thing, or you think he finally was converted?
Oh, he is that far gone. He's like Gollum in the ring, you know. Oh, my precious, my Trump, my precious, right? No, he will not see the light of his stupidity that got him in the hospital.
Well, you know, I've heard people talking. My sister talked about how the police officer Derek Chauvin, is that it? How he reacted to the guilty verdict. It was like nonpulsed at all. Kind of like what he looked like, I guess, when he was leaning on Mr. Floyd's neck.
His eyes darted back and forth. I think he was shocked.
He was like, oh, shit, I'm going to jail. They found me guilty on all counts? That was what he
I never thought. I thought the least count was he was going to be convicted on, but he got on all three.
Right.
Amazing. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. There was a shocked look on his face, like, "Oh shit, this is serious now." Yeah.
And then that scene of him having handcuffs put on him. What a priceless moment. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I want to put in general population. He won't last a month in there before somebody really gives him real time. Thing is, they're going to repeal the case, and in hopes that they get another whole set of juries and a little different of a time frame. Let time soothe, heal all wounds kind of a thing, and try to get it overturned and become acquitted. They're going to try it again. So
I wonder what happens to three cops that are going to go on trial, the three others. You know, they'll probably be on much lesser charges, but I wonder what will happen to them.
Yeah, well, that's the other story there, too, isn't it?
Yes. Just sat by and did nothing. All because they have a job, which I understand.
Right.
You know, I don't know. Don't you have any morals or ethics? I'm sure they probably would claim they're religious, too, you know. And some of them often say that, but they're phonies, you know.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Gwen.
It's ridiculous. It's all ridiculous. It's all based in this, you know, whose chubby is bigger. I'm frankly, gentlemen, I'm so tired of the patriarchy. I could just spit every time I turn a corner.
I agree with you, too. The country is not changing for the better.
The world.
Little sidebar here. The woman.
Little bitty
one. The cop who got off duty, the female cop who got off duty, who walked into the wrong apartment in Tennessee or Kentucky. The man was in his own apartment. I don't know.
Yeah, that case.
He left the door unlocked. And she walked in, and she shot him, thinking she was in her apartment. Well, I think her sentencing is coming up, or her trial is coming up, one or two. But that'll be an interesting story to see how they rule with that.
And the Breonna Taylor case was unbelievable, and then nothing happened in Kentucky.
Yeah,
right.
So that's Kentucky.
Attorney General there is African American, but he's a big supporter of McConnell. Was a big supporter of him, so he claimed there was no reason to prosecute police officers. Just beyond belief.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very out of pocket. So we have a police crisis, and that's the consensus in the majority of except for Republicans. And that's really, there are a few Republicans who are wondering, you know, what the heck has happened. But damn few. I mean, it's just, are you guys there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I was hearing dead air in my phones, and I'm like, okay.
That's all right, Glenn.
Other than that, we have there's actually been a dip in the number of cases. It started to go up, and then I guess it's dipping back down with COVID in a lot of states. I'm not sure which states those are, but that's
Florida, I think, is actually going in the inverse. They are getting more and more increasing results of new cases of COVID being caught, because you got, again, you're anti-vaxxers. I'm not wearing
it's
that
an
damn
increase,
mask. Right?
Not
you're
an
taking
inverse,
away my liberty.
But an increase.
Liberty and freedom. The big deal, we have to wear a mask at the end of the world. It's not.
Yeah.
You know, also, religion has become a real burden, because evangelicals have to have these big crowds, Orthodox Jews have to have a big wedding, and then in India, the Hindus go nuts over all their religious traditions. So all these people all together in the name of their God, and they're all dying or getting sick because they're dumb, you know?
Well,
Does it, from a different perspective here, does it tell you something about this Judeo-Christian Islamic kind of, and of course in India they are not, that it's just, he's right, there's the Pali and there's all kinds of different God anchored festivals that they seem to have felt they could continue with. But I mean, these folks will wash in the Ganges, which is really not very good anymore. So it is cultural. It really is cultural in some places, all places. It's just that the one God crap, you know, is really imposing on the intelligence of the human species right now, and in the collective, the vaccine hesitancy. And it's not just America. There's a few countries where there is some vaccine hesitancy because of the crazy-ass leadership. And basically, they're looking to try and find a herd immunity. And that's not going to happen with vaccine hesitancy, you know? 24% of this country doesn't get vaccinated. We're looking at round robin in this. And it hits, it's about DNA. It hits your DNA. Everybody's DNA is different. And so this thing seems to be riding the DNA.
Sure. So, exactly right. Yeah. And speaking of that, there was
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. When I was in Columbus, there was a large Amish community northwest of Columbus. And of course they didn't, you know, they don't believe in getting vaccines. You know, they got the blood of Christ and they're all safe and everything. But then they were also sending some of their children out, you know, to missionary stuff, and they sent them to the Philippines. Well, the next thing you know, they came back with the mumps. They were not vaccinated.
Oh, boy.
And then there was a large population at Ohio State University who, again, that generation, you know, we don't believe in vaccinations. You know, the parents didn't get them vaccinated. And the next thing you know, there was a huge scourge of mumps that ran through Ohio State University, through the Amish community, and our surrounding areas because they had been vaccinated.
I had the mumps.
Time to
do.
Long, long ago, back in the Middle Ages.
I was going to say, back.
Middle Ages meaning the last century, a long time ago.
That's wearing very, very, very thin on me, but okay, it's true. It's not getting much better, but.
It all goes along with the Republican, and it's based on the fundamental religious aspects that has had now such a large voice, and which I warned Jack Kemp about back in 2005, of we are anti-science. Science isn't real. Science is the devil worshiping, right?
And I've discovered people I know who majored in science 30 years ago who don't believe in science anymore, which drives me crazy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, Professor, and I know some of those too.
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Well, some of
it's only convenience. They don't want to be bothered. They want to have what they want when they want it, you know.
Well, science is always evolving too. And academics who are teaching science and the higher collegiate courses and whatnot, academics are notorious for being stuck in the mud always. They work on their tenures, they publish their students' papers. It's really, you have to blame the academic community for some of the failures of people being interested in and wanting to pursue science, especially more, you know, intelligent or creatively intelligent people who are looking for the challenge and see the pitfalls and the failures of what we've assumed is the proper, it's like physics, you know, it's always a show over there. You know, but you have your stars that break out and do things, but you also have a great many people that get disgusted and walk away. You know?
Yes.
Science, it's in its own nature, is to constantly challenge and test itself. That's how the science is evolving. Yes, science, you know, the views and things that we learn and science and what we thought, you know, we had more facts with some new evidence, changed, and okay, we modified them that this has to be. You know,
there are so many new fields that could be opened up, but they are being resisted by the current academic communities. I'm talking everywhere from Harvard to Dingleball community in Miami. You know,
mm-hmm.
you've got resistance there. It's just the way it is. And I would call that a certain kind of hierarchy in the educational system. And it's not just America. It's in some pretty advanced countries. But there you go. You know, it always is until it isn't. You have to go in and prove it. That's why, you know, great scientists do things like inject themselves with disease so they can cure it. Nobody believes them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I wanted to bring up the issue of Earth Day, of course, the anniversary.
What was this?
Earth Day. I said, you know, Earth Day April 22, and I wrote about it this week. And also brought up, what a lot of people seem to forget, Richard Nixon was the president under whom the first Earth Day was created, although Gaylord Nelson, Democrat of Wisconsin, Senator Nelson was really motivated, but Nixon went along with it and also established the EPA later that same year, 1970. And as I point out, he died on Earth Day in 1994, which is really ironic.
I did not know that. That is interesting. Yeah,
so I always told my, you know, that's the 25th Earth Day.
Reason why
70 to 94 is 24. If you count each one separately, it's the 25th Earth Day, 1994. And I tell my students that I said he created, you know, he signed into law the first Earth Day, and he returned to the Earth on Earth Day, and they laugh.
That's right. That's
very
poetic.
Earth Day is incredibly important because it was founded to bring us back down to, you know, taking care of and appreciating our mother, you know, and when Lovelock and, Maren Gulley's, Rod Serling's wife, when they came out with the Gaia hypothesis, you know, of ecosystems that naturally take care of themselves, the balance of nature and everything, this was one of the things that came out at the same time. And we have this as a knowledge. We walk with this. We know that we are part of nature. Humanity is part of nature.
Absolutely.
Profiteering and corporations, I mean, have you seen the latest Dodge truck commercial? Conquer Mama. You know, it's like...
That's very friendly. I have such a visual on that. You're right. That's Chevy truck too, right?
And I have to say, I'm one of the people who enjoyed, you know, the dune buggies and racing up and down hills and stuff. And I do like motors, but, you know, I think there must be a much better way. And you want to be one of the things that is fundamental now. And Ron is so right to write about it with his skill and his craft, because it is very political. Our consumerism that is destroying the planet is also presenting a huge political and security risk to the country.
That's a very good point, Gwen. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, these guys, the Pentagon's known this for 30 years.
You know,
Washington, D.C. is in danger. All those memorials are going to be underwater someday in the future. They don't do something about it.
Well, that's correct. Basically, Washington, D.C., especially down by the Jefferson Memorial and stuff, that was swampland. Swampland that they filled in.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a few feet above sea level. Well, the sea level rises. Guess what?
You should see South Beach in Miami during the high
tides
of
winter. Charleston, South Carolina?
You know,
Norfolk, Virginia?
Annapolis, where you are, is in danger, too.
Well, the amount of time you're still in.
New York subways are flooding. New York subway.
The whole
flooding.
East Coast, Atlantic Coast, is in danger, basically. Yeah.
Well, personally, I've always thought that it was Mickey Mouse who was in more problem areas than we are down here, Ron. I kind of see us as an island, to be honest with you, or maybe the cutoff point is somewhere around where I am right now. Who knows? But I do.
Well, but Miami is certainly in danger. South Florida is certainly in danger. Also from global warming, climate change.
It is.
Right.
But it's,
and of course,
it's
the Everglades.
Yeah.
Oh, God, don't get me going. Yeah. It's the Everglades.
Well, that's what the show's about, Glenn, is getting us going.
Well, you know, they've ignored it. Pardon me. Half of the fundraising and groups that are supposed to be the environmental community and helpful are nothing but fronts for funneling money from one, you know, PR event to another and getting people paid, and damn little of the money going to the actual efforts they're representing. That's been going on for 20 years or more. There's no handle on it. And the thing is that while corporations, there are some corporations, and you're going to be surprised who I'm going to name, you know, Atlantic Richfield, Exxon. They are really turning a lot of their science and research into ecological recuperation. I mean, I don't know if people are aware of that. But those money grubbers are looking at ecological, and that's because the original family still holds over 40% of the common and preferred stock in that company.
Well,
that's how they're
it's typical capitalistic system is, if I can make money at it, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to invest in it. Well, right now, you know, if we're going to survive, we're going to need to make it profitable for them to change the direction that we have been going in.
You know, the really, really disappointing factor in all of that is that there's plenty enough people to survive right now, but it's our systems of commerce and our systems of leadership that, and I'm not calling out and saying we all ought to be a bunch of communists or Marxists or whatever. It's just there's got to be a better way, fellas. There really does have to be a better way. And adjusting the systems in place, because that's our only choice, right? I mean, Ron, what do you think?
I think you're right, yeah.
I mean, you know, we all have to survive. There has to be commerce. Things have to get done. People have to also, you know, be able to freely apply their skill craft where they want to if they can. Then take a look at the poor. And I don't consider people poor, rich, or in between or anything. I look at people either have plenty or they don't, or they have way too much and they're irresponsible bastards. But the thing is that, and every time that the working class community in a political system, capitalism, or look at the Soviet Union, my God, the country runs on black market.
Oh, absolutely. Right.
It's wrong about that. I think Putin could be in some trouble. You know, I think Putin could be in trouble about Navalny. There's a lot of demonstrations. I wonder if that could start seeing transformation by the elite group that's behind him, whether they might decide he has to go. I wonder.
As long as Putin is in charge of the armory of Russia, I don't think he has anything to worry about. He doesn't think twice about throwing cans of gas into crowds of people. He's doing it. He's done it. It really boggles my mind, though, how Russian people, and they are reacting. You're right. There's some demonstration going on over there. And how do you pronounce his name? How do you say it, Ron?
Navalny.
Navalny.
Navalny. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
the guy who's
the prisoner who shouldn't have gone back. You know, it's crazy that he went back after being poisoned.
Well, he's standing on his principles. He's doing it.
And now he's gone back
to
eating. Came close to death. And guy's courageous, but I think he's also a little nuts because I wouldn't have gone back.
Well, most charismatic leaders are somewhat of a sociopath. Come on, Ron. I mean, even the most charisma, I mean, even to a certain degree, some of the nicest guys we've ever seen walk through the White House have been somewhat sociopathic, because you have to be to stay on target with who you are and what you're doing and what your message is. You got to get a little crazy about it and commit it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to mention to Wayne particularly, talking about crazy people, I wrote an article this week about the worst Republican House members, and one of them is Andy Harris, who you've always been critical of.
That is a big conversation. This election, matter of fact, on Facebook popped up, Republican Party for Anne Arundel County, which he would represent here, which is Annapolis and the whole Eastern Shore and just south of Baltimore. And, you know, we're looking for fundraising and stuff. And when you look at the comments underneath, it's like, I'm not giving a damn thing to this Republican Party. You're the most corrupt thing. Andy Harris has committed treason against our own democracy, and you want me to contribute to the Republican Party to give him coffer money? Screw you. All the comments underneath that were that negative.
He keeps on staying in, and I'm sure his seat will be protected by gerrymandering when we have the census figures, I'm sure.
Look, he will pull the Eastern Shore, because, like I said, that's still the Klan, Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, want those people back. Those were that was our invested money in those slaves, and they ran away. They stole themselves, There's still that mentality on the Eastern Shore. Plus, too, where Wayne Gilchrist, who was the congressman, who I had worked with and worked on projects with, is an outstanding guy, bronze medal, Vietnam, Marine, but he was an environmentalist. And he was addressing the fact of all the large chicken waste from Frank Perdue being spread on the fields and running the nitrogen runoff into our streams and bays and stuff, doing the water quality damage. And Jimmy Perdue, who's now running it, his dad's passed away, Frank has passed away. He was the one who funded and threw a lot of money behind Andy Harris and basically backstabbed Wayne Gilchrist for that seat.
And that's like 10 years ago, isn't it? He's been around a long time.
Yeah, well, that's it. I was 2005 was, I think, the last time he got reelected.
Oh, so it's
been 2007.
None of these Republicans. 15
years already, wow.
None of these Republicans right now are paying any real price for their assholery or their stupidity or their outright cruelty to their constituency. Take that green broad who's in Congress. What a ridiculous thing she is. And now she's saying that she's read 14 pages of the Green New Deal and she's ready to...
Why don't you tell her green, yeah. She hadn't read 14 pages. She doesn't read. She's like Donald Trump.
Right.
I mean,
and then Lauren Boebert, the other character that's new, and also Madison Cawthorn. These are all freshmen. But I have a list there in my article. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert of Colorado, Jim Jordan of Ohio, which is the WH area where, I'm on the other show with Glenn Coble, Paul Gosar of Arizona, Mo Brooks of Alabama, Andy Biggs of Arizona, Matt Gaetz of Florida, Andy Harris of Maryland, Madison Cawthorn of North Carolina, Louis Gohmert, Texas. These people are crazy. Glenn Grossman of Wisconsin and Chick Roy of Texas.
And none of them, and half of them are under investigation for something, and none of them are paying a price. They're glad handing with, the money hands that'll keep them in office if they have the opportunity to run. In other words, not in jail.
Well, that's right. Like I said, Andy Harris has been a corporate stoogie since day one. And... basically, he's got large corporate funding because he's going to do what
Maryland
they tell him to do.
All Maryland politicians have been sort of corporate bagmen.
Well, oh, my God. Let's look at Agnew and Mandel.
You can include
right?
Biden in that.
taken out and arrested for taking bribes.
They've all been somewhat of a bagman, Democrat and Republican, out of,
yeah.
out of Maryland, because Maryland has kept its laws so that corporations are enabled to do a lot of dirty dancing. You know?
Yep. I do know.
So it's
that was
like,
one of the things that Wayne Gilchrist, that we were fighting against. That was the, some of the projects that I worked with Congressman Wayne Gilchrist. Was, you know, large garbage industry, waste management. And we knew what they were doing, dumping toxic waste in unlined landfills under the supposed to be just construction debris.
The reason that all this goes on, I'm pretty convinced now. I mean, how can we not be? Is this just too many stupid people voting?
Well, that's right. It is a lot
no,
of...
No, there's just too many stupid people. And everybody has the right to vote. And it kills me that three-quarters of registered voters in this country are actually Democrats. And we still can't get those Democrats up off their asses to get in and vote. You know?
Yeah, well,
yeah.
But more than did vote this time. This is the most active presidential election since 1908 in percentage. In 120
I know,
years, so
but obviously
it was regard, you know.
It obviously wasn't enough because a lot of the local stuff and state stuff just slipped on down the road. I don't know.
Yeah, look at Arizona. They recounted the vote after all these months, the Republican Party.
Are they still recounting votes?
Yeah, this weekend they're spending money recounting the votes. The thing is, even if, let's say, Trump won, that wouldn't change the electoral vote enough to make Trump president. So it's not enough in this one state. So what's the point?
It keeps their crowds riled up and anxious.
And Trump made a comment how thrilled he was that they were recounting, and he thought it would transform the nation. What do you think, he's going to become president next week?
Yeah, right.
Well, there are people, I have seen people late at night, guys, when I lay down to go to sleep or what have you, I need a little bit of laughter or whatever. I go over to TikTok. I don't know if you're aware of what it is, Ron, but it's a
I haven't gone to it, but I noticed it.
Oh, my God, it's funny. You can pick what you want to hear. You don't have to get into the political crap, but it will show up. And one lady is like saying, I see it on duets. You can like play somebody's TikTok and make funny faces at them or whatnot. this one lady is saying, you know, oh, no, Trump's really the president. He's going to bring the army in and all these things. And I mean, there's this one gal who's duetting on the other side, going, you know, crazy lady with the winding finger and stuff and making, this is hysterical. It's just, you got to laugh.
But interesting that she said to bring the army in. That's democracy?
they don't know what democracy is. They really don't understand how the country works. You see, that's the big thing. Well, one of the big things. But I'm telling you, man, I see such funny things. And then you see these guys who you would take your first look at them, you think, oh, my God, here comes the Trumper. And they are the most wide open hearts with liberal minds or liberal ideals. And just wonderful stuff. I mean, it makes you laugh. My God, it's so funny.
tragic, though. That there's so many dumb people.
You know, Ron, you may know this. I mean, I used to years ago know which country had the largest percentage of intelligent folks, you know, I forget how they used to.
I don't know if there's any country with a large number of intelligent people. I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe Canada?
You know, some people say so, but Canada's got a lot of hanyaks in office, too. I mean,
yeah.
really, some pretty bad customers up there.
Yes. I think many people have wished that Justin Trudeau would move to the United States and become our president, especially when Trump was there.
I guess so. And that's another thing that I was going to hit on before we got over Biden's first 100 days and all of that. Biden seems to have a pretty good reputation for what he's
been
doing.
Yes, he does. And I think the thought in a long time, yes. He's not perfect. I always have to say that because nobody is. But I think he's really surprised a lot of people, yes.
Yeah,
and I want to mention his connection to Walter Mondale, how much he learned from Walter Mondale, who passed away this week, who is regarded as the greatest vice president as far as interaction with his president. And imagine, Jimmy Carter still outlives him even. He's amazing, Jimmy Carter. It's just amazing. But Mondale lived to 93, and he really transformed the office, partly because of himself and partly because Jimmy Carter made him almost like a co-president. And that's pretty much close to what Joe Biden was with Barack Obama. And I think he's trying to do the same thing now with Kamala Harris.
Yes. I think you're right.
I agree with you there. There was an insistence on the cooperation between I agree with you 100% on that.
And Mondale was the first nominee to pick a woman. Now, she didn't win, but he did, so he set a standard for that, too, and that's what Biden went ahead.
Geraldine Ferraro, right?
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know what he should have picked? He should have picked the mayor of San Francisco at the time, Dianne Feinstein, who now has been there forever and needs to retire.
She really was, I think,
a better choice.
You would say that to a gay woman? I mean, I don't care for Feinstein at all.
I don't like her now, but I think at the time she was mayor of San Francisco, you know, and I think that she would have been a stronger choice back in 1984, I'm saying, you know.
Yeah, see, that's a problem with politics, is picking politics by politics instead of idealism, you know. What it boils down to is the machines keep running. And guys,
well, she needs
to
retire. She's there too. She's 87, going to 88. It's time to leave, but she's still there. Unless she leaves, she might leave, but she's there to 2024, and that's really crazy. You know, it really is. Too late.
Well,
she's almost 90. She'll reach 90 in office. I hope she leaves. You know.
Well, she's always been power hungry. She just walked on the side of the street that said good guys instead of bad guys a lot of the time, so she got away with things.
Yeah.
I'm not saying
I'm a fan of her, but I think Geraldine Ferraro was actually a weak choice. She was only a House member for 6 years. She didn't have much of a record. Feinstein had been mayor of a major city, you know, after the mayor, then she went on to the Senate.
Yeah, but if you consider the man who chose her, okay, Walter Mondale, who knew that partnership going into office was something he probably wanted to practice, he found Geraldine Ferraro for a reason. And
yeah,
I
maybe personality-wise, maybe he found her easier to get along with, which is part of it. That's true.
I think, you know, get along with, hell, you have to be able to work with people and trust them. Trust, that's the big issue. We got our feelings, we got our choices, and we got our trust. And that's about all we got, you know?
Right.
And
yes.
Even with good leadership, you're going to find that they're number 1, 2, 3. And getting the money to run is like, well, you know, we'll get it. It's a faith thing, you know. It always has been. That's you know, hey, look, I grew up on Frank Capra. You know, Mr. Smith went to Washington, you know?
Yeah, well, without a Pollyanna look at
government
is.
Yeah, but you know what? It had its essential truths to it, you know?
Well,
and
we were also, as a nation, had different viewpoints. You know, fanfare for the common man.
We had a voice
against corporate greed and corruption.
And we had just won World War II, too.
Exactly.
With a lot of
exactly
that.
Right.
So
hooray for democracy, we beat the fascists.
That's right. And it still bothers me terribly when people use the word Antifa and try to make it sound like a terrorist group.
Right.
I mean, it really is a knee-jerk reaction for me, because both of my parents against anti-fascism, and my
mother...
Well,
these people don't know what fascism is. They don't realize
that... My father and his whole generation.
People realize Trump is a fascist, and that they back... You know, they didn't support Hitler, but they like him, and there have been comparisons, photographs showing the way they look, Hitler and Trump this week, and very similar poses and the way they act. And really, he is a danger if he comes back. He's got to be kept out. But the problem is we have the Florida governor is the number one choice of those who think Trump isn't going to run, and I think Ron DeSantis is a monster. He's horrible.
He's stupid. He's stupid. He can't even think on a dime. All he knows to do is throw rhetoric out. I mean, he doesn't answer a question. He just throws crap back at him. He will actually answer a reporter with a question. I mean, and that just pisses people who think for themselves off, you know?
The problem with Florida is they have also Scott and Rubio, and the rumor is all three are going to announce for president. Of course, they all can't win, and I don't think any of them will be the nominee, but we're going to have three people from Florida in the presidential race, and I think I can't even figure out who's the worst. I think DeSantis may have passed Scott now.
Ron, that just makes me happy. It really does, because if you've got these clowns running, you know, if you've got those kind of clowns running.
2016 had a clown that could not, nobody in their right mind would vote for it in 2016. Well, surprise, surprise.
Yeah, you never know.
I don't know.
They go to Mar-a-Lago, including Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader, and, you know, he's horrible, but he could be the next Speaker of the House, though, if the Republicans win control in 2022. Kevin McCarthy of California.
I saw something this past week, and I thought it was pretty epic.
And the best thing, I got to get this in here. Oh, God.
Go ahead.
What, Caitlyn? Caitlyn Jenner?
Caitlyn Jenner,
running for governor of California? You've got to be kidding me. Really?
And so imagine they're going to have a transgender woman when they're passing laws to discriminate against transgender kids in Florida and elsewhere. How is she ever going to? I mean, she's not going to win anyway. It's a Democratic state. But that is such hypocrisy there.
Oh, no. But just the absolute flaming kind of ridiculousness and pure egotism that that she is pulling on people right now.
Well, she's not going to go. She's not going to go anywhere, though. I want to mention, going back to Monte a minute, I wrote, Monte was such a decent, authentic political leader who did not display an ego talking about himself all the time, as many political leaders incessantly. He was really a decent man. He was really somebody to admire for his gracious nature and being a loyal partner to Jimmy Carter.
Last time I heard a Republican speak like that was in actually film and in school, and that was Dwight Eisenhower. He addressed issues, and he did it with the gentleness one would not expect from a general.
Yes,
you know?
No, he in many ways, and he wasn't perfect either, but Eisenhower looks much better all the time compared to any Republican president since. When I was a kid,
God,
I don't believe I was a kid, but I was.
We have 1 minute before we're off air, so please, Ron, where can people find you quickly?
Okay, you can find me, Ronald Fineman, at theprogressiveprofessor.com or historynewsnetwork.org under blogs, Ronald L. Fineman. And I'm on Facebook and Twitter. And on Twitter, I'm at POLITHIST.
Okay.
And for me, Minds, MINDS, and Times, TIMES, of F. Wayne Johnson. There's a lot of my personal experiences and how I became who I am today. Oh,
can I get my commercial in, guys?
Yes,
this show is sponsored by Daughters of Isis, Inc. We are celebrating our 30-year anniversary next weekend. So please, 20% off of everything all May Day, all of May 1st. which is our anniversary. So thank you, everybody, for listening. We will be back next Sunday at for the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio. And tomorrow night, please tune in to Come Now, Don't Salt, This Mummy, Simple Brunch.
Very good.
8 p.m. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, have a good one, and God save us all.
Yes.